Well, back in the mid-1960s, there was a song by Burt Bacharach with these lyrics. You probably know it. What the world is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone. It's a sentiment that struck a chord with the generation that I grew up in. And it was followed by the Beatles' All You Need Is Love. Love is all you need. All you need is love. Love, love. Love is all you need. And we all responded. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, it's not only in the 60s that there was this craving for the reality of love. It's something that every generation, not least our generation today, desperately seeks after and desperately needs. Well, Jesus Christ addressed this issue radically. Throughout the passage of John chapters 13 to 16, he reaffirms to his disciples that the key commodity, the key component of Christianity is love. As he calls his 12 disciples together, only hours away from the horrific moment of the cross, the commandment that he gave to them was not that they were to be more zealous. It wasn't that they were to be more dedicated as disciples. They weren't to be more committed. No, the commandment that he stresses to them is given in John 13 and verse 34. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, before he gave that teaching to them, Jesus set the stage by being an example to them as he washes their feet. And in this example, I want to highlight a number of things that I believe will help each one of us carry out this commandment that Jesus gave on that evening, to love one another. Now, first of all, Jesus had the freedom to love. You know, even as they're arguing on that evening, even as Judas is about to betray him, even though the hour on that evening is heavy, Jesus had the perfect liberty to love. Now, why was that? Well, in verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and that he was returning to God. Jesus knew all about his past. He knew where he'd come from. He had come from God. And if you are still thinking about your past, if you're thinking about all of your past struggles and all of your past mistakes, all of the things that you've ever done wrong throughout your life, you're not really going to be free to love. If you're still living in the past, if you're still haunted by your past, you will not be able to love in the present. Because the more you try to love someone, then the adversary will come along and will whisper in your ear, "You're just a hypocrite." He will constantly replay in our minds all of our past failures, all of our past inconsistencies, to the point where we will feel totally unqualified to do anything but to wallow in defeat. But the good news is, all of our failings, all of our sins have been washed away in the blood of Jesus. Every sin that we have ever committed is not only forgiven, but it is forgotten. We can be at complete peace with our past. Not because of our perfection, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, not only did Jesus know that he had come from God, he also knew that he was going to God. And if you are always concerned about your future, what's going to happen tomorrow and the day after and next month and next year? How's the stock market going to be doing? Will I get this promotion at work? Is the housing market going to go up or is it going to go down? If you're always living in the future, you're going to miss the opportunity to love in the present. Jesus would go on to say in this section in John's Gospel, don't let your heart be troubled. Because in the scheme of eternity, these things don't matter. Our future is secure in Christ. We have eternal life set out before us. So as Christians, we can truly say, in faith, my past is taken care of by the death of Jesus. In Christ, my future is secure in Jesus. And so I am free to love in the present. You see, knowing where he had come from and knowing where he was going meant Jesus was free to love. We also see here the cost of that love. As he was reclining at dinner, Jesus was suddenly aware that the disciples need their feet to be washed. And as a result, the meal was interrupted. In verse 2, the evening meal was in progress. And in verse 4, he got up from the meal and he took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And you know, that's true for us too, isn't it? If we're going to love people, we've got to count on interruptions. You know, you'll be sitting in your favourite chair watching that big game on the telly or that film that you've been waiting to see for years, or you're sitting there enjoying that good book and suddenly there's a knock on the door or the phone will ring. And if you're going to be one who loves, you're going to have to be willing to be interrupted. It's not easy, is it, to be interrupted? And it's not only interruption, it's involvement. Together, this is the cost of love. Interruptions to your agenda, involvement with people. Jesus didn't stand up at that meal and say, do you know what, there's a funny smell in here. You lot had better get up and wash your feet before you eat. You know, my mum used to say to me, wash your hands before you come to the table and eat. But Jesus didn't give them a lecture here on cleanliness. Rather, he got down on his hands and knees and washed their feet. And so the lesson for us is, if we're not willing to wash people's feet, then we have to keep our mouth shut when we see dirt. Because when we see dirt, we can either talk about it, which is really judging, or we can involve ourselves in that person's life and we can deal with the situation on our knees. Jesus chose the latter approach. He didn't simply point out that they hadn't washed their feet, you've got dirt on your feet. He did something about it. And so he's providing for us a model for love. And Jesus' act was unannounced. He didn't stand up and say, okay chaps, watch this. You're now going to see love in action. You can take a few notes. A few photographs are allowed. No, he quietly got up and he washed feet. It was something that was unannounced. The rest of Jerusalem didn't know what he was doing. He didn't make a big song and dance about it. He just quietly took care of the situation. Now you might think, well, that would have been easy. If we had the disciples sitting here this evening, wouldn't it be easy to wash their feet? After all, they're going to be the leading lights in the church. We'd want to wash their feet, wouldn't we? But how easy would it have been? I mean, just think about who was there on that evening. Simon the Zealot. Oh, some people called him a freedom fighter, but others called him a terrorist. Do you want to watch a terrorist's feet? What about the person that committed the act of terrorism on Westminster Bridge just a few weeks ago? Did you want to kneel before him? Wash his feet. Matthew was a collaborator. Tax collector, yes, but he was pocketing a lot of the money for himself, as all of the tax collectors did. What about Nathanael? Skeptical of who Jesus was. Peter, who would deny him, and Judas, who would stab him in the back. Go round the group, man after man, and you'll see they're people just like you and me. And yet Jesus, in a beautiful and a humble way, loves those people who are not really very lovable. And I don't know about you, but that actually gives me a great deal of hope, because I know that I'm not very lovable either. And it gives me great comfort to know that the Lord loved us, not because we're lovable, but because He is love. And so the model for us, with Jesus living inside of us that we've sung about, with love Himself living inside of us, is that we are to love the unlovable. But then we see here some difficulties with love. Jesus wants to wash Peter's feet, but what happens? In verse 8 he says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Peter protests at the thought of Jesus washing his feet. And you'll find that there will be some people who you want to help, but they just won't let you. Some people, in a show of independence and pride, will say in effect, no, you're not going to do anything for me. You're not going to give me any help. You see, we must be prepared to allow other people into our lives and to help us where it's appropriate. Actually, there's another difficulty here too. In verse 9, then Simon Peter replied, well, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. So some people say, okay then, wash all of me. And that highlights for us a second problem, that of over-dependence. Some people will expect so much of you, will lay heavy demands on you, and will try and exploit and manipulate you to get more than they need. And sometimes the loving thing to do is to say no. If they come to try and rely on you too much, after all, you're not the Lord of their lives. You know, we can't be the solution to every problem that somebody has. We can help. We can wash their feet, but we can't give them a bath. We need to be able to say to people, look, I'll help where I believe the Lord is leading me to help you. I'll respond to his leading, but that won't be necessarily according to what you demand. Now, how does this foot washing account apply in a practical way to us today? Well, of course, in our culture, we don't go around barefoot or in sandals and pick up all of the dirt and grime from the floor. So in practical terms, this passage may not mean washing feet apart from the symbolic act that we're going to do this evening. It might mean providing practical help. Maybe washing a family member's car if they're unwell. Maybe washing a neighbour's windows if they can't reach them. Washing an elderly person's clothes if they're too frail to do so. How about washing the dishes for your wife without being asked? Oh dear, I know I've got a lot of work to do in that area. But can we do that? Can we provide help where it's needed? You see, at any given point in our life, we will live by a basin theology. That's the way that we will live our lives. Either we will call for the basin like Pontius Pilate did, and we'll wash our hands and go away and leave the situation. You heard that phrase, and wash my hands of that. I'm not going to get involved. Or we will take the basin where we will wash someone's feet, and we will act in a ministry of service and humility. And so that's the choice that confronts us, isn't it? It's what basin are we going to live by? Because as a congregation, it's not enough for us just to hear the words in John 13 and simply agree with it intellectually. We are not to be just a community where we affirm our belief in the scripture. We have to put it into practice. How can we do that? Well, we can live in the freedom of loving one another in the present, knowing that our past is taken care of and our future is secure and certain. We can be prepared for our agendas to be interrupted in order to be involved with people. We can love everybody, even the unlovable. We can help people without them becoming totally dependent upon us, and we can apply culturally relevant acts of practical love. All you need is love. Love is what the world needs now. Not just for some, but for everyone. Verse 17 says, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do." And so we're going to start by washing one another's feet this evening. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we humbly come before you this evening, so thankful and grateful for all that Jesus did for us. We're comforted and we rejoice in the knowledge that everything that took place was according to your sovereign will, that you showed us what love is to the fullest extent, and now we need to be engaged in sacrificial love to one another. We thank you, Lord, that you are our servant king, that you didn't consider equality with God to be grasped, but you made yourself nothing. You came in human likeness. You came in the nature of a servant, not to be served, but to serve. And you stooped to our level. You kneeled at our feet and humbly washed them. And you call us now to follow you. May our attitude be the same as yours, as we serve one another in a spirit of love and forgiveness and humility. May we always wear that servant's apron and carry a towel in your service. Father, we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.